I care about living a little bit.
Just a little.
Living's okay, I guess.
It's all right.
It's been the worst mistake of my life.
There are plenty of ways to remedy that.
Jeez.
Ba-dum-bum.
This rip-roaring comedy we're doing right now. <I'm killing Yeah. laughs> Oh, God.
Now you know what we're going to do for the intro.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Game Poet Uncast. I'm your host, Jordan Haygood, and here's Marshall.
Hi.
Beryl.
Up.
And Corn.
I want to punch you in the face every time you show no energy.
I will find you.
I will break you.
Everybody. Oh, now it's rubbing off on me.
Oh, no.
Pump it up.
Yeah, I gotta pump it up.
Yes, exactly. That should give us some energy, except for Corn, because we all know he's playing one game.
And it's the most boring game on the planet?
Yes.
And the drain of eternity. It just keeps going.
So what are you Minecrafting today?
I play more games in Minecraft, and they're not really relevant.
Aww.
All right, share that. It's more, it's relevant when you play something else.
Oh.
Alright, first off, Minecraft. We finished vaults, we finished the war and all that so now I'm going back to take it.
Did you win?
No. That's not important. now we're playing Take It. We decided to take a nice break by the beach. Relax and unwind. And work together. To build a... I think it's a prison, but I think we're going to pretend it's a hotel. I'm not sure.
What's the difference, really?
Well, the difference is we wanted mobs to be in, villagers to be in there, but we couldn't, you know, set up a... Take us not advanced enough to just have people show up to a hotel. So we're going to capture them and put it in there. So it's kind of a prison.
Yeah.
But at the moment, we're just jumping between dimensions and, you know, mining
Sure.
Always nice.
It's my favorite part of Take It is that you don't have to mine anymore. Just build a giant quarry and you can watch it and try not to fall in sometimes.
And what are those other games you've been playing?
Monster Hunter. Freedom Unite, because I'm old school.
You are old school.
Wait, Monster Hunter?
What?
Crazy. Why would you do that?
I've been playing for ages. I started a new character randomly when Jordan talked about it last week, so I'm trying out... I never went with bow gunnery, that long-range stuff, so I've just been messing around with that. Not enjoying it, but whatevs. I'll go back to the longsword or greatsword, depending.
So I think you're like a fan of Monster Hunter.
Yes.
Okay.
I'm considering getting a Wii U for it, but I'm not sure yet.
Okay. Well, I wasn't sure. Yes. Well, what about 3DS though? I mean.
Yeah, but.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think I'd prefer it on big screen with, you know, two analog sticks and everything. Because it's kind of like, oh hey, the Vita, what's going to be great on that? Womp womp.
Who was it that, was it the Fez guy that had that big thing about that?
Oh, yes.
Oh, Phil Fish.
Fish.
What happened? Fish.
His tweets that everyone hated him for.
I didn't keep, just, you might refresh my memory though if you say what it is.
He was talking about how much he liked Monster Hunter 3 Ultimate on the 3DS, but how much he hated playing it on the 3DS and kept complaining about the 3DS sucking and that it needs to be on the Vita and then he tried to clarify by taking back stuff he said, but
I heard that game has real like text problems on 3DS though. Like you can't read crap on that thing.
Oh good.
Yeah, so
I wouldn't know any of the story.
Oh, I know, it's terrible.
Why am I hunting this monster? What crimes has it done? I have to know.
No, I mean, like, for, like, equipment, I think that'd be kind of pretty important. If, you know, it's like, I don't know what I need. What the crap? How
know.
Do I make this item? Doesn't
the
matter.
The sword that does more damage is a different color, so it's not all bad.
Okay, but, that's it? That's all you play?
No, I mean...
Played some solitaire, too.
No, yes. It's like a minute. Like, well, like, I'm not sure if you can count when I do solitaire. It's just like, oh, this web page is taking a while to load. Open solitaire, like, move two cards, close it, go back to the web page.
Solitaire is boring. Okay, web page loaded.
Yep. Lesson learned.
I think that's it. I mean, there's a bunch of small crap now. You put like 2 minutes into one.
You're like, nope, I hate this game.
I'm just waiting for Company of Heroes 2. I tried to, I played a little Dawn of War 2 actually, to try and fill that void. It just didn't work. I don't like the smallest scale. You know? I'm a core man at heart. I just like throwing a bunch of force at something.
Nope, yep. So you don't like matching bases? Is that what you're saying? Or you like matching bases?
It's alright. I just like bigger scale. And just like, oh, I got 2 units. That's my entire army. Woo!
Seems like RTS is like Symphony Commander and, Dawn of War had that problem, like, recently, where they make, like, smaller-scale games where... And then they're like, eh.
That's good. I appreciate what they did, but I prefer big scale. Yeah. Also don't like f***ing Space Marines. We got Chaos on. I don't want to play DLC for that shit.
Yep.
You can rant later, but let's move on to, Barrel. What have you been playing?
Oh, I finished up Soul Hackers. I like that game. I usually don't like dungeon crawlers at all, dungeon crawler RPGs, but that one... I thought it was pretty good for what it is. I mean, a really old Sega Saturn dungeon crawler RPG. But I think it holds up well. And I also played the Soul Sacrifice demo, which Marshall can attest to, unfortunately.
Yeah.
No, not unfortunately. That demo is actually grew on me as I kept playing. I didn't like it originally. Like, I was like, this game, the style's gross.
Is that the one that was posted on the forums that of being like?
Oh yeah, people were complaining
something about demo or dud or whatever it was.
Yeah, yeah, they're like, man, this game is repetitive and it's like, but they probably wouldn't say the same thing for a Monster Hunter game.
Yeah, even though it's fundamentally the
same. Yeah, exactly the same in premise, but it's faster paced. Right. Whatever.
Well, so they say, but I mean, soloing a lot of the stuff in Soul Sacrifice. It was a lot easier than soloing stuff in Monster Hunter, for sure.
Yeah, and even, it's, like, less grindy, fundamentally. Yeah. Like, there's a lot of things that they're more forgiving if you compare it to a Monster Hunter game, but if you don't compare it to a Monster Hunter game, you'll probably get frustrated.
Yeah.
Like, if you don't know what you're going into, you'll probably be like, man, this combat, these battles are long, it's grindy. You play Monster Hunter, you're like, man, this is way worse. But, yeah, me and Marshall did the multiplayer, and that was actually pretty fun. I didn't like the game early in, but, like, with a group, I could finally see what those Monster Hunter people were clamoring about. Like, man, that's a different game when you play with people. It's like, and yeah, when I played Soul Sacrifice, I think that was a good example of that.
Yep. That's becoming a lot more of the focus in a lot of games these days, but those Monster Hunters have always had that right at their heart, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Nope.
All right, how about you, Marshall, other than Soul Sacrifice?
Oh, I played, you know, Soul Sacrifice, obviously, but I also played Fire Emblem still. You know, still a good game. If you wanna play that, I recommend you doing it.
Yeah, I still need to buy that.
What?
But there's only so much money to go around.
You own the 3DS and you don't play the best game on it?
I still have some catching up to do, I'm sorry.
Either way, if you want to do any grinding in that breakneck path, good place to do it. You can funnel enemies really well in that. What else have I been playing?
I don't know.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Because someone else here isn't going to talk about it. I actually played Blackrock Shooter a little bit.
What?
Yeah.
No, seriously, what?
I was playing that.
Not sure.
I got a code for it, so I'm playing it.
Did you really? They sent multiple codes for that game?
Apparently.
Alright. Interesting.
Yeah. Since you're doing it for this site, I'm gonna have to find a site that'll take my
review. Really?
Yeah.
How did that happen? Okay.
I don't know.
But talk about it. Did you play much of it?
Not really.
Okay.
But yeah, I put in a couple of chapters on it. It's something. It sure is a game.
Yeah. It's alright. But it's better than I thought it'd be. That's what I'll say. I thought it was gonna be garbage, so I don't know if that's a high bar.
I thought it was. I didn't really have any expectation for it, and then I saw the character design, and then I really had expectation for it.
Yep. That is something. I was like, really? I'm gonna.
He wouldn't.
Can I make her
like that and go around? Man, I know what it would.
She hates pants and shirts.
Yeah, she hates pants and shirts, and carries a big gun.
Yep.
And people were all like, wow, she sure is cute. And I'm like, dude.
Yeah, I was like, oh, guys, what? No, creeps.
Yeah, she looks 8.
Yeah, I think she's 13 and whatever.
Yeah, but she looks
oh,
8.
That's fine then.
All right, then. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
That's just okay.
Anyway, the positive thing is that as you play the game, they have no interest in her at all. They actually care about, you know, older women. The negative is, well, you still have to stare at next to naked 13 chick. Anyway,
yeah.
The game though, I don't think it's terrible.
Oh, it's all right.
Yeah,
it's RPG-esque. You run around, you shoot stuff.
Yeah,
with a gun.
It kind of reminds you of a Punch Out though when it comes to the combat, like
sort of. Yeah.
Like, I mean, there's a bit. I don't know if I would say more or less, but there's more or less in certain areas. Like, you can move between different planes. You dodge attacks. You kind of read and react to what enemies do. And while definitely become routine for regular enemies, they do some interesting stuff for bosses. But in terms of story, I don't know.
All right, well,
yeah, that's it.
Have you played anything else, Marshall?
I played some Phantasy Star, which, sure, whatever. I played, Guild Wars 2. They're doing their April event still, and it's almost over since April's almost over, so go do that, because it's actually pretty cool, so go do that. Seems like there's something. Oh, yeah, Star Conflict, which, you know, if you like spaceships, do that.
Is it?
Right.
Yes.
What?
It's the one I talked about, right? Ages ago.
I'm not sure, is it?
Get with the times!
Yeah, it is.
Oh.
Well, do you like it? Called.
I think it's alright. I like the controls and stuff.
I felt a bit too loose. What is?
See, I like how, like, whenever you're targeting an enemy or whatever, like, if you lock onto them, then there will be a second target that appears on the thing that shows you how to lead it.
If only there was another space shooter that did that. But before it.
Oh,
what if there's a game like that?
Is it something that's free and Lancy?
Anyway.
Yeah, that video games.
All right, what have you been playing, Jordan? Oh, well, I've been playing nothing at all. Actually, I have been playing some stuff, but I feel like Korn used to be. You know, how his whole shtick about not playing games, that's me now. Yay, I'm the new Korn.
No,
that's terrible. Don't be the new
Korn. I did play a little bit of Super Mario Land, because I wanted to go to sleep one night, and I decided, well...
The original Super Mario Land, or 3D Land?
The original on the 3DS from the, you know...
Okay, Game Boy.
The savable one. Not. Well, yeah, I was...
Oh.
I mean, it's okay, but I don't know. There's just something about Game Boy games that just makes me sleep nowadays, or makes me tired nowadays. Yes. But not really. Not really.
That sounded way more defeated than I was hoping.
Yeah. He's like, Game Boy games are old. I don't care anymore.
Nah, they still hold up, depending on, Well, I didn't really play too many regular Game Boy games.
Yeah.
Game Boy Color games I did play back in the day. But, yeah.
I never owned a Game Boy Color.
Aw, dude, those things were the best. Oh, no.
I had a Game Boy Pocket, though.
That was the same thing, but...
they didn't have color. That was a fundamental part of the Game Boy color.
Oh, so it's just a regular Game Boy, but small.
Yep.
Yeah.
In any case, that's really all I played, surprisingly. I've been working a lot, so I didn't really have time to play
Pod.
The most games this week.
What is it, the working podcast?
Yes.
Having a life? What is wrong with you guys?
In any case, some news has been going around. I'm sure you've heard of it by now. That for the first time in, I don't know, ever, Nintendo won't be having a big conference this year at E3. And some people are spelling doom. Some people don't.
Nintendo is dead. Read,
some people don't read anything except for the headlines, and so they're like, they're not gonna show up. What? But no, that's not the case. What was it they were doing? They were splitting it, doing two separate things, one for consumers and one for investors.
Yeah, that's at least the end goal, ideal goal. Like at the actual E3-4, they'll have a, like they're mainly, by the sounds of it, like actually going to be focused on games. I know, it's crazy. It's crazy to think that.
Oh my god.
But
no dancing people and Wii music.
No Mr. Caffeine, I mean.
Yeah, no.
Terrible. But the thing is that they're going to have a Nintendo Direct, which will obviously directly only talk about games, which is actually a nice thing. And on the show floor, they'll have pretty much games for that they'll talk about on the Nintendo Direct for the press. And then they'll have kind of a contained part of E3 for investors and stuff, which actually all this kind of sounds like smart stuff since, like, compared to, like, Sony and Microsoft. Like, Microsoft obviously has to do something big this year, and Sony has to obviously back up their PS4. So they're going to be, like, at each other's throats.
Yeah, I think that's kind of what E3 seems to be, is, like, the battleground for these companies. And it sounds to me like Nintendo's trying to be more on the business side and just get things done. And, you know, instead of, I mean, I don't know, it seems with Sony and Microsoft's new consoles, they have to show the whole world what they got at this point in time. And
Nintendo just has to back up their stuff really.
Yeah,
because
they already showed off theirs, so they're just dealing with the business part of their console.
Yeah, and also hopefully proving that they have games too. And if they don't, that's another matter entirely.
Well, they did say in the past that they would show some pretty big stuff at E3, so while there isn't going to be a big conference or anything, supposedly there's going to be some surprises anyway. So I don't know how it's going to be shown, if they're going to have like a bunch of Nintendo Directs or what, but...
And honestly, I would prefer a Nintendo Direct over what is normal for an E3 press conference, which is like 40 minutes of bullshit.
Yeah.
And then maybe a game that you care about, but they only talk about like big and popular ones. And they'll be like, maybe the other stuff you might care about is on the show floor. Maybe. I don't know.
And I think E3 is usually more for, like, spectacles and stuff. Like, they're, like, trying to make this explosive, like, show some trailers and stuff. And it kind of lost its importance a bit now that... Because, like, Sony announced the PS4, like, on their own terms. Just... Okay. They showed it online, and everybody covered it. They watched it. You know, it got around. Everyone heard about it. And I'm sure next month, when supposedly Microsoft's going to reveal the new Xbox, the same thing's going to happen, where they're just going to have this big online thing that everyone's going to cover. Everyone's going to know about everything. Yep. And, you know, that's kind of what E3 used to be for. Everyone who cared about games would watch it. And, you know, that was back whenever the internet wasn't as big as it is today, where everyone can see it online. Just do a search on YouTube, bam, there's the big...
Most people.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Well, Korn, you are a little detached from what we associate with the modern day.
Yeah. Like, what Nintendo's doing is, in general, it's pretty decent. You know, as an idea, strategically, it's a good idea, and it's good for Nintendo regardless. But it has the issue, I think, of if they're breaking it down just to Nintendo Direct and to smaller conferences and stuff like that. Nintendo Direct will be, you know, available for everyone, but for the smaller conferences, for the smaller things that they'll be doing at E3, that means they're probably going to have a bit more selectivity when they're having people come and look at their stuff. Which means for smaller sites, you know.
Oh, yeah.
There's a small site we're pretty fond of. It's probably not going to get the same.
Yeah, because usually we have those whatever they are, that just the people following the conference and editing this big article that, you know, yeah. Adding snapshots and all that stuff.
And Marshall will be like, Reggie scratched his nose 3 times during this conference. That's kind of funny. Oh, they're talking about games now.
Yeah.
Sure. Yes, yeah, I see what you mean.
Yeah, that's not so good for us.
Yeah, for them, yes, but not for us little guys.
Yeah. Plus, I mean, honestly, I could be biased in this, but I feel like, you know, if you're going to have an objective, you know, informative sort of thing, then you should have as much coverage from as many different perspectives as you can. And honestly, I feel like a lot of larger sites are coming from similar brain space, so you're probably going to see a lot of comparable coverage from them.
Because it is very controlled, like, since it's going to be direct, and they have, there's no, like, they already, like, pre-recorded and everything. It's like, there's nothing that's going to be specific to that recording or show.
Yeah.
It's not going to be, no audience just laughing at them because they unveiled TNT as like, their partner.
Or be absolutely quiet when they do sound stupid.
So, yeah, it's got its advantages for Nintendo, but I think insofar as trying to have an informed public, it might not be as helpful.
Yeah.
Yep.
But,
what?
I was going to say, like, is there anything else related to E3 that stands out? Like, games looking forward to, or, like, any rumors? I don't know.
Pay attention to rooms.
I'm looking forward to seeing what kind of stuff these companies have in store, like always. If they don't announce anything aside from E3, like these companies saving up for that, then that, you know, that's what I'm looking forward to. I'm interested in actually seeing Sony's console.
Lord, why would they do that?
unless it really is a holographic console.
Yep.
I hope they don't show it again.
They find a better controller by then.
I don't have a problem with the controller.
Then Microsoft only shows the console and no games.
Yeah.
Hey, we have a console, but that's just about it.
I think that would be the most interesting. Well, actually, I don't know. They're going to have to answer it before E3, but since they have the whole, they're teasing their next console before E3.
Yep.
But I was going to say, like, the first thing that'd be interesting to see is if they address the always online or online DRM thing that they,
oh, yeah,
that a lot of people are speculating about.
They have to answer that at this point.
Yeah, they definitely, that's definitely going to be, or should be one of the primary things. If they ignore it, that's a whole different can of worms. Like, you get to do this and this and this. Like, is it online? Maybe. End of conference.
It reminds me of, was it Cliff Bleszinski again who I don't know if it was him. Somebody joked around on Twitter about, who doesn't have, who's not always on the internet these days, and
hi.
Like, everyone has the internet just always on, and it, you know, talking about toasters and I don't know, some weird crap. I forgot who it was, but they're like, I don't know. It was kind of a dickish remark about, oh, well, we can afford super fast internet where we live and whatever. Yeah. And so everyone should be able to.
I think I know you. I forgot his name, though. I don't think it was Cliffy, but
I don't know. Maybe. I don't know. That was the first name that popped in my head because he's always the first nowadays to jump on dickish statements like that.
Yeah. You know, thinking about this whole Nintendo thing, Nintendo recently started doing that whole thing where they're selling refurbished 3DSs and stuff, correct?
Oh, yeah. It's authentic, yeah. Refurbished.
Yeah.
Yeah, tested and whatever.
Yeah. I think that's kind of actually interesting if you think about it, because Nintendo's stepping away from doing major things with E3 in order to focus on their own things, and they're sort of doing their own refurbished stuff. That sort of shows an interesting dynamic Nintendo has with the, quote, proper industry or whatever.
Yeah, I mean, I think that in general that's pretty interesting, though. It's, what's it called? Anyway, I read Twitter just seconds. That's why I laughed. Anyway, what's interesting is that, God, can you repeat what you just said? I forgot what tangent I was on. Freaking Twitter.
Something about
get off Twitter.
Nintendo's relationship with the industry.
Yes. Okay. But interesting about that is that like used consoles in general, it's like people associate that with the company not getting any money.
Yeah.
And they basically get direct profit while also
it being
selling
used
the console.
So like Nintendo's getting all these used products and refurbishing them and reselling them so that it's
which
so
be like
that
even
yeah
more profitable. Which that's also kind of makes me wonder how cheap they are being right now, because the prices aren't amazing.
Yeah.
So I'm basically thinking they are eliminating the middleman completely by doing that.
Yeah. It's I mean, they're making twice the money off of the same console. So, yeah. But, I mean, if they're... I don't know. It's interesting that Nintendo seems to be sort of stepping away from that and going for their own thing. And they're doing more virtual console stuff and everything. And
yeah, Earthbound.
Yeah, so...
They're listening to the consumers and what games they want on there.
It seems like Nintendo might be kind of stepping away from, like, brick and mortar and going for being self-sustained or whatever, building the Nintendo empire even further.
Yeah, it seems like they've been doing a lot of things, like, that whole... whenever they combined the... was it the R&D department or something? They like... you know, where the consoles and the handhelds are like in the same team, I guess, the same area of Nintendo. And this whole thing about Iwata becoming, how was it? I forgot, what was the position that he like is working with America even closely for global reasons? No, he's already the CEO, but. He's also taking over this other position to, so that like America and like pretty much the whole world of can be, you know, they can work with the whole world as kind of a, like all games get released at the same time everywhere. And, you know, the whole thing where America's getting a lot more of their, limited edition things. Like it used to be just Japan getting all these things. And now America's slowly getting all these cool stuff that Japan gets, and it really does seem like they're trying to go in a new direction and build Nintendo
sort of
in a different
that's interesting
new business tactics that we haven't seen in a while.
A shame they're gonna go out of business in a few years, right, Pector?
They're gonna lose all their billions of dollars they have saved up.
Well, they did lose a lot of
gambling debt.
Like, I mean, they lost like 50% of profit they had or this year.
Still better than most companies.
Yeah, yeah. They're not doing bad, exactly, but they are doing not as great, and 50% is a big deal, especially when it comes to investors.
They're being a gaming company, and they're having their highs and lows, just like Sony.
What?
Oh.
Sorry, it's mostly lows.
Speaking of which, you know... Yes. Bringing up the atrocious PS3 release when they kind of you know,
oh, the hashtag
took them quite a while to get some games people were crazy for. And
you mean you weren't excited about Lair? Come on, guys.
that E3 announcement they had. Ridge Racer. What was that? I think hit him in the weak point for maximum damage.
Or
whatever.
It's like giant crabs. Their weak point for massive damage. Yeah.
Yeah. So, with this next generation coming up, with you know, the Xbox, whatever, supposedly being announced next month, and the PS4 being announced, and the Wii U being out, How do we feel about this passing generation, the one that's almost at an end?
Is it right?
Yeah, must be good.
All right, you guys have no complaints. Love it from start to finish.
Complaints.
There are definitely complaints. I mean, it's not a perfect generation or anything, but
well, none of them are. But you know, It was interesting to say the least, with from, you know, the PS3 announcement being a little awkward, the Wii being huge and then going downhill from there with you know, the whole thing about people calling them paperweights and dust collectors and all that.
And then, like, the Xbox kicked off that online focus.
Yeah, and it was everyone on their headsets playing games with each other. Yeah, some a little bit more outspoken than others.
Yep.
Sorry.
The true coming of age of the blockbuster game that has done so badly for the entire industry, and that and the pricing of like marketing and all that crap for games gotten so out of hand because of it.
You have turned it to Hollywood.
Yeah, that was one of the big things about last gen was just the pricing. Like, I know the whole thing about inflation, but at the time of the PS3's release, I couldn't afford to buy something for $600. Never in my life, especially since I was young. I was pretty young. I couldn't afford that.
Oh, good.
And my parents couldn't afford to get their kid that, because you know, they didn't really like doing that anyway. They maybe bought me a game for something I already had.
I mean,
I was even afraid to ask, like, hey, can you buy me this thing for $600? And then a few games for it.
Yeah.
The Neo Geo launched at almost $1,000. So.
Yeah, but
the 3DO also did as well. And television was like $800.
We know, Marshall. But we're talking about a greater scale. Now, that's the thing about, it's like, there's more gamers out. It isn't exactly a niche hobby that people are spending a bunch of money. It's like, they try to sell it to a lot of consumers, and obviously it didn't happen at that price point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those are prices including inflation.
Yeah, inflation.
3DO was only $700 on this launch.
Inflation is definitely a big factor, obviously.
Yep.
But yeah, what are the best moments of your last gen or current gen experiences or whatever? Like, what made you happy? Did you like coming home with a new console and booting it up and playing whatever game you bought it
for? System updates.
System updates.
You missed those.
Gotta love it.
You know, you're always up to date, I guess. You don't. You're never dated. I don't know.
That's true. I am never dated.
I feel like this is going to a separate topic. But favorite. Oh no. Like, in terms of system wise, I honestly, when it came to the PS3, 360, and Wii, I cared much more about the handhelds. I thought I got much more enjoyment out of those.
Yeah, that's
it didn't.
Yeah, I remember being more excited when I bought a handheld and then opened it up and checked it out. I'm not sure why. I guess because it was cheap. Honestly, it was cheaper, and I don't know.
In terms of games, like, I don't think. I'll be honest. I don't think this gen really picked up until the last couple, like maybe 3 years.
Yeah, it was kind of slow.
It was overall. I would think it was rather dry for a while. Like, I mean, like, it was a good 2 years before people were like, "Oh my God, Metal Gear Solid 4," and that was it. Otherwise, people were like, I don't know. Uncharted was all right. I mean, I'd like to see more Uncharted.
People didn't even really get excited about Uncharted until Uncharted 2.
Yeah, that's
true. Yeah.
Like, there, it was kind of like a
huge
thing. Like, people were like man, like, it was kind of like a underrated classic among some people. It's like, people were like, yeah, I really like this game. It's not all gray. It's kind of green too. That's green. And yeah, and this guy, you know, actually talks.
Yep.
But gotta, like, and on 360, it's like, although 360 didn't have a terrible launch, it didn't have a launch that many people cared about. Like, not many people cared about Cameo or what's it called? Some other rare stuff.
Donkey Kong?
Yeah, I forgot a whole lot of those that came out. I know those. Did Viva Pinata come out?
I think that was a little later.
I didn't get a 360 at launch, so I don't remember exactly what released, what launch games I had.
I was going to say, there was no reason to pick up any of these systems at launch. That's kind of.
Yeah, it's. The curse of early adopters is there's not a whole lot. There's not a whole lot of good things about it at start.
Like, at the Wii, like, people the only game you had to play was Twilight Princess. And arguably,
Wii Sports!
And arguably, people would say the GameCube version is better. I would say both versions suck, but what do I know?
I didn't play the GameCube version, so I wouldn't know either.
But yeah. Do we like stuff from this gen, though? That's the thing. I mean, yes. We're already complaining, even though he said...
Yeah. No, yeah. I don't play anything this gen. Screw that. I don't...
Oh, terrible gen.
I mean, now, am I hallucinating? I know this is not even in the topic of what do we like or whatever, but am I hallucinating? Or did it seem like this generation, like the as it is now, that's really where they started like killing off their manuals and stuff in games? Because I have a lot of PS2 manuals lying around.
Oh, yeah. It might be the who
I
sells them.
Later.
I don't know. It at first it felt like the where I was buying them, they didn't really have manuals ever. But
it was a gradual thing, actually. Like, it was manuals, but like as the gen progressed, it's like they found ways to make like less, more recyclable cases, I guess, or whatever. Yeah.
And it could have something to do with in-game stuff. Like maybe because like tutorials and stuff are there, they don't feel like they really need manuals too much.
Yeah.
But I do have a lot of games without manuals.
Yeah.
So I know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
At first I thought it was just GameStop just gutting the, just like, hey, let's take everything out and screw you.
Sell it to you.
Yeah, now like a manual that's like at least more than a pamphlet worth is like a novelty, which is sad.
Yeah.
Like, oh, Atlas released a real manual. That's crazy. That's so retro.
Like as a kid, I really enjoyed whenever I bought a new game or something just on the drive home.
Yeah.
You know, looking through the manual.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
It's like if I didn't have time to play it that day, it's like I would literally like
look.
The manual to school the next day and like read it and be like, oh man, I am set for this.
Yeah.
Yeah. And back in the day, the manual was the only place where you can get the story, like back in the earlier generations.
That is true.
Yeah.
You never find out that Birdo was actually if it weren't for the manual.
Maybe they didn't want you to find out.
The important question.
All right, well, yeah. Manuals.
Yeah, I missed those. Those were...
Well, what complaints do you have about the generation other than the no manuals stuff?
No manuals and Blockbuster games.
Blockbuster games.
I am a big fan of the... How in this generation the digital market has become a lot stronger. Like, you know, you get a lot of indie titles,
indie,
small titles.
Yeah, that's a big thing.
Like, really big. It's like, I remember back in the days, like even though there was more, I would say, experimentation around the middling games, I would say.
Yeah.
Like, the middle budgets, like, not exactly the super high ones, but there was a lot more people that were able to make games that were more experimental. But indies, like, they are the only ones that are doing that. Like, it's either Blockbuster or those, pretty much.
Yep.
And with those, it's like they break away problems with the publishers that they used to have. Like, I remember a good example was like Shantae. It's like they had difficulty getting that game on the Game Boy Color. I think Capcom had to publish it. They had to go through all kinds of hurdles to get it to happen.
Yeah. And like, I'm sure that you specifically, Beryl, appreciate the way that digital market has like made it so that you know, you get a lot more niche titles coming over here and stuff like that.
That is true. Like companies like XE, they're willing to bring over
a lot more.
Like Corpse Party, or if you want to count NIST, they brought over Black Rock Shooter, which is for a specific group.
Yeah.
But definitely it's an audience.
Yeah, and it's nice that we've been getting more like indie titles being converted into big releases, and I don't know if has that ever happened other than, you know, this current gen.
I don't think so, actually. I mean, you were lucky to see on like the Game Boy, where it's like they would.
I made this on my computer, and then somebody bought it and turned it into this game.
Yeah, like they were lucky to even find a publisher, because like information was not easily, you know. You could not contact other publishers and developers as easily as you could probably nowadays, for sure. Like, you could just literally contact a dude on Twitter and could probably get something out.
Oh, yeah. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Get emails, the PR, you know, people or whoever or whomever. These people are just all over the place on the internet. That's no problem finding them. But back in those days, it's, you know, you might have your bootlegs or something, but it's a lot harder to get something major, you know, indied out.
But yeah, this gen way totally changed that. It's like people can literally self-publish their own game and be like, yeah.
Crowdfund as well. Yep.
Oh yeah, that too, yeah. That's helped a lot. Yep.
I mean, it's still...
It's sounding more positive for Sun, it's supposed to be negative.
It's yeah, still I guess... transitional.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Crowdsourcing is a nice little way to go before
I think
it's... sort that out.
I think it's weird that you have this you know, transition or whatever, and a lot of companies, they have a terrible habit of just firing a bunch of employees these days or closing studios and stuff like that.
Yeah.
When
2,000 employees from EA recently.
That's not good. That is a terrible thing.
Yes.
The fact is that the reason why it is the case is obviously, you know, the cost of making games now is so ridiculous. But that doesn't make any sense to me. It makes sense that it is expensive because of the way they're running it. But I don't understand how they got to that point, considering they already have television and movies to be their guideposts. They already, you know the hazards of doing this sort of stuff. I mean, it is a new medium and everything, but they're not going into it completely blind like a lot of other things did.
Yeah.
Yeah. But, you got any more complaints to make this a little more negative before we move on?
Quite a few anti-consumer things popped up this generation.
Yeah, that's DRM, the way DRM is done, DLC, online passes.
And homogenization of games, a lot of the same
games.
I don't know, I guess publishers and developers got really pissed off at, like, piracy and second-hand games. They just went full blow this generation. It was not good.
It's very much more... anti-consumer this generation.
Yep.
Yeah, it seems that way.
I mean, not across the board. You have to give nice people their credit.
Yeah, but those nice people.
Yep.
Be it. I just paused to think of some names and I couldn't. I mean, there's Valve, I guess.
You say it, there's Valve, but Steam is entirely DRM.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
I've used Origin. I'm willing to give them a little.
Yeah.
And honestly, I mean, people hated Steam when they first started.
Yeah.
Like, it took a while before people were like, you know, Steam's like the best thing ever. Like, it took them quite a while to get that.
I guess if you want to talk, you know, distributors or whatever, good old games, they're pretty legit.
Yep. Any specific points we want to hone in on?
Pre-order bonuses got pretty crap this generation.
Yeah, that's true.
But Avatar clones.
Yay.
And a weapon for the game you bought.
An overpowered weapon that doesn't fit into the game. Or an underpowered weapon that doesn't fit in the game. Either or.
PC game is better because you can legitimately buy a game and then you can mod it to have all that crap that they're taking away from you.
I don't know about that. Sometimes you don't even get that.
You mean like SimCity turning offline through mods?
Though on that topic, this generation has been way more shafty to PC gamers.
Yep.
Yep.
Oh, Ubisoft.
Yep. That's it.
Good job, everyone.
Everything's bad about this generation.
Yeah, this sucks. Video games are horrible. Blah.
I think we tried a lot of new things. Well, I didn't personally for that, but someone else did. So, yeah. Next generation, a lot of the good ideas will be kept and kind of ironed out and everything.
I don't know.
DRM will get a lot more intensive. You have to be double online or whatever.
Double online.
Yep.
You're just buying the demo and then you have to pay DLC per level for game.
Yep. I heard you like ending.
Eventually, it's going to have to collapse in on itself. I mean, I don't know. I have more confidence in consumers than that. But, you know, they've let me down repeatedly, so
Yep.
Well, I mean,
they are the reason why it's gone this far.
Yeah.
Those damn consumers.
Well, I mean, we've talked about it previously. EA is struggling, and they're kind of the big kind of go-to of anti-consumer crap.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fact that they're struggling means it doesn't really work that well.
We'll see how it ends up actually shaking out in the end.
Yeah.
We'll watch the future happen and see.
Yes, we will watch the future happen.
Watch the future on HBO, I guess.
Sure.
Sunday nights at 11.
Okay.
But anyway, let's move on to questions. We just have questions from Kikyu this week. She asks, what's your favorite all-time handheld console?
DS.
Yeah, I'd have to go with that too.
Yes.
At least for the time being. I haven't seen enough from the 3DS to change that yet.
Yeah. No, I mean, that's completely valid, because you can't compare the DS's gigantic library of experience against this little baby 3DS that hasn't had a chance to do anything really yet.
Yeah, it's like saying, oh, this baby's better than than his older brother.
I mean, let's be honest, it's like, I think the games on 3DS right now were better than the games that were on DS for the first 2 years. Like, they weren't.
Yeah, I mean, I have confidence that it'll be able to match it in time. Give it a few years and we'd be surprised, but
I won't
you know.
Be. I'm expecting it to do better.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's true. But yeah, the DS, and it beat out the PS2 finally as the best-selling console of all time. Whether you count it as a console or not, that's up to you.
No, it's not up to them. They are wrong if they don't count it as a console.
Well, whether they believe, that's up to them. But it doesn't make them right.
It's a portable game console, or handheld game console. If you add that extra word.
Yeah, people don't ever add that word. They're like, oh, it's a handheld, but they don't know that a word comes after that.
I guess.
It's a console you hold in your hands, not just something you hold in your hands. It's an improper sentence.
What about Corn, though? Did he say DS as well?
I kind of want to, but part of me wants to say PSP. Just
Game Gear. On
that. Well, I'll say PSP. I do like the 3DS and PSP a lot. Like, those easily out, like, any other system, even ones that I have, like, nostalgia for, like Game Boy Color and Game Boy Advance. But, yeah. I mean...
Engage?
I think the DS and PSP are really strong, but PSP, you definitely have to go beyond the obvious first party stuff. Like, you really have to find the stuff that you like.
Yeah, they had a lot of good stuff. Not as big a library as the DS, but it definitely held its own, I think.
I don't know about that. I think that's arguable, actually.
Well, yeah, actually, they do come out with PSP games still, don't they?
Like, yeah, even now. Like, but then again, there are so many multi-platform stuff. Then again, the DS, it got a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, though I guess it is hotly debated between that and the Atari Lynx.
Atari Lynx?
That's my favorite.
Yep.
Atari Lynx.
It also doubles as deodorant.
All right.
But it's interesting that both of us, or all of us, said ones that are more recent. None of us have like any nostalgia towards ones that are like Game Boy or whatever.
Yeah, speaking of the generation we were just talking about.
Yep. Those were examples of it. That was the good thing of this generation. Handhelds. Consoles suck. Home consoles suck.
Yeah.
I just went against what we just said.
See, that's the thing about the... I think the reason why people were a lot more excited about the handhelds last time, or at least, you know, in this particular podcast, is because you're actually getting, you know, you're getting full experiences, you're getting full console game experiences. You know, on the old brick Game Boy, you did have, you had Tetris or something, and you had Pokemon, which was good, but it was, you know, riddled with its own limitations relative to home consoles. Whereas now, you want to play something, it might be a little more limited. It might not be able to do the hyper-realistic graphics or whatever.
Yeah, and even so, like as far as I've seen, there are some games for the 3DS that outmatch what the Wii can handle. Like, it's in terms of graphics and stuff, and
not a high bar.
In the high bar.
I know, yeah. But I'm just, I mean, you can't. Well, then there's more production there is value, the Vita. Like, there is the Vita that can match the PS3. So it's definitely a difference.
Yeah, I don't know about that.
Well,
it's more like if you're willing to put in the budget, it's like I
but
feel like
no one ever is.
Or great looking games. It's like, man, they put a lot more money than most Vita games get.
Yep.
That's the problem with that.
Yep.
People don't want to spend money.
You gotta make games. You gotta care about making the games. That too.
Especially since Vita games cost, what, like $40, $50? So, yeah. I guess there's the fear that making a game that powerful would raise the price to something people don't want to pay for.
I'll be honest, like, I think you could have a similar experience on the 3DS, like, on the Vita, but just with higher fidelity, because of the memory issues. Like, Vita kind of shoots itself in the foot because of memory space on their cartridges.
Yeah.
Alright, well, let's move on to Kiku's next question. What console do you think helped progress gaming the most?
Depends. Like, you could say Wii is in making a bigger deal.
Yeah. You could also say the NES for what it did after Atari's little fiasco. But who knows what would have happened if I don't know. I don't know if gaming would have become non-existent that early, but...
The Dreamcast, man. Well, actually, you know, the Dreamcast does... I think it has a lot of indirect influence. Like, it really kicked off the whole 3D focus. It's like, they kind of experimented with that on the Sega Saturn and some other systems, but...
Yeah.
Kinda like...
And it was the... It was like the Mario 64 for Sega, bringing Sonic into the 3D realm.
I mean, and not just that. It's like, that thing made the GameCube not flop.
Yeah.
Like, it just because it got the ports, like Sonic Adventure 2 and stuff. Like,
yeah, it helped.
The GameCube was not, it did not start out strong, and I don't know.
It still didn't really end very strongly, but
yeah,
still.
Lasted forever in Japan, though.
We could
still make games for today.
We could change one word in that question and change console to platform. And then I would
PC.
Say PC.
Oh, you're the worst person
ever.
Oh,
yeah.
Most pop-out answer ever. It's the ones that make the games, idiots.
PC Master Race, right?
Yep.
It's kind of cheating because it's kind of been around.
Yeah.
Yep.
With any individual console.
Yep. That is true.
Oh, I would say the SNES.
I was feeling that too.
Yeah. SNES, because SNES had a brilliant library, had a spectacular library, as well as the fact that, unlike the NES, you could actually hold its controller and not cry.
It wasn't very comfortable, still.
Your hands didn't get deformed.
The worst part, I think, of the SNES controller wasn't necessarily its shape as much as its the fact that it felt so flimsy.
That too.
Like, it felt like you could just crush it in your hands.
Have you ever done that?
I've never tried. I don't want to break an SNES controller. What are you talking about?
I think back in those days, people did throw their controllers around, so I wouldn't be surprised if that happened often.
I think the SNES, though, really did bring much more respect to gaming, like in terms of what type of games they were making. They weren't like throwaway things. It's like some person messed around with on PC and...
You were playing with power!
Like,
I guess.
A lot of people grew up with Nintendo games. It's like, everyone knows who Mario is, basically.
Yeah, that's the 90s generation. Like, everyone who grew up with gaming, that was, like, their start. That was my start. And people our age, the SNES did have a big impact on their life.
Yeah.
Bigger than NES for me, anyway, because I wasn't even born when that came out. I'm a youngin.
Yeah. Cute little baby.
Yep.
Oh, PS2 did bring dual analogs. I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, PS2 was a pretty big one.
PS2 also had
holding
that library.
Holding its crown for so long.
And it was a DVD player.
Oh yeah,
that helped me out a lot. That was a big deal, actually. I mean, it was made a lot of people buy it. I mean, it was a good thing to convince people. Like, it plays DVDs.
Yeah, and back then I didn't have a DVD player, so that helped a lot.
Yeah, I would say. probably SNES, but in terms of personal preference, I'd probably say PlayStation 2.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the original Xbox.
Really?
No.
That was sarcasm. He's getting good at it. Because you
I was being sarcastic too. But
sure.
Really? Oh. But, is that anything else?
It did bring the whole more accessible line. So that's an improvement.
It brought Microsoft into the console race as well.
Yeah.
See, this is one of those... I feel like this is one of those our war is the biggest war that's ever gone on kind of things. Because there were... I mean, that's... You know, Microsoft's the big thing right now. But who's to know if they're not going to go the Sega way or, you know, or any of the other ones. It's like, just because that's what happens to be going on right now doesn't mean that that's going to make it the biggest thing that has happened ever or whatever.
Yeah.
So basically what you're saying is that we should only just pick PC because that's the only safe answer.
No, I'm saying like SNES would be a good thing because it, you know, it showed like a huge library as a beginning thing. You have to choose either things in the beginning or really have strong definitive reasons why you pick something that's going on right now, because
yeah
it could be perspective, it could be it's closer to us now, so it's hard to say.
Yeah. Alright, well let's get to Kiku's last question. What gaming stereotype annoys you the most?
So many.
Yep.
Anything in a JRPG.
Nope. Oh, no. But there's some pretty... Wait, are we talking about in-game specifically?
It says gaming stereotype.
Okay.
I guess. I mean...
I was at the...
Gamer stereotypes.
Yeah, exactly. That's what popped in my mind when I read that first time. So
gamers are the worst.
Anyway.
Well, I think some are overused. Damsel in Distress is used a lot.
Yeah.
And,
Oh, I really, really get irritated with, like, in JRPGs and stuff like that, the headstrong child.
The 15-year-old chosen one. And
one naive world, but...
He doesn't talk either. Silent protagonist.
And obsessed with saving people. You're like, I refuse to kill this guy in the middle of a war.
Yep. That's really annoying. If you're talking gamer stereotype, then I get really irritated by the fact that
defensive JRPG. Yeah, are you getting there?
What?
I was gonna say, like, are you going to go towards defensive JRPG fans, like the ones that crack when Nino Kuni's dissed on?
Them too, but I was going to say the sort of like stupid tribalism thing that people have, where it's like, okay, I like Xbox and I like PlayStation 3 or whatever,
and
someone's like, you know, you happen to have both consoles, you like both, but you happen to play one more than the other. And someone's like, man, the PS3 is so much better than the Xbox. And they're like, no, those triggers are terrible. No first person.
Yeah.
Like, dude, you own both of them. Do you really have a problem with them?
The whole fanboy thing is just freaking annoying.
Is it?
Yes.
I'm still, like, baffled, like, how this happened. It's like, I guess it's because there's more people playing games now that... Yeah. There's more passion, I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know. People like to fight. I mean, don't look at YouTube comments for anything game related.
And again, YouTube. There was some.
Yeah, don't go on YouTube.
Nintendo stuff at the time, so maybe that's not entirely true.
Yeah. I feel like a lot of it has to do with the fact that gaming at a certain point is sort of like, you know, innately it's supposed to be kind of nerdy, and if it's kind of nerdy, then there's probably some degree of, you know, exclusion in your history.
Yeah.
So having the ability to flip that on someone else is apparently supposed to be gratifying or something.
Yeah, I guess. Like,
I don't know. Society is popular.
Human nature.
Society in general. It's just ridiculous.
It is.
Hey guys, I hate you. I hate you too. Anarchy. Let's fight.
Smoke lasagna every day. Anarchy.
Yep. But yeah, okay. Stereotypes in general.
Stereotypes. I hate stereotypes.
Yeah.
That said, you can do some funny stuff with stereotypes.
Yeah.
So if you, depending on your game or depending on, maybe a writer, you can do some funny stuff. So
yeah, if it's like a humorous parody game of some kind,
or an interesting stuff. It doesn't necessarily have to be funny.
Yeah, that's
true. Oh yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
But stereotypes can work if you take advantage. Just kind of make fun of them or something.
Yeah. Or, you know, use that to build an expectation and then invert that expectation.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah. All right. Well, Corn, you got any New Zealand stuff?
I mean, there's the Comedy Gala. That was pretty good. I managed to miss it, though.
Comedy Gala?
Gala.
Gala?
Gala.
Gala? Tell us about it, Corn. Jesus.
It was a big TV show with a bunch of stand-ups doing stuff. It was great.
New Zealand stand-ups?
Mostly. There was quite a few others.
Who was there?
Oh, f***, I didn't mean to do this.
Bill Cosby?
Was Bill Cosby there?
He's always there. You had Di Henwood, you had the boy with tape on his face, you had Jared Christmas. Boy with tape on his face is actually really good. I like him. He's been one of my favorites at the moment.
Actually sent me a video of him once, and he was actually pretty funny.
Yeah. Jared Christmas is pretty solid. Di Henwood, I quite like. Was Paul there? I don't think Paul. He might have been. Like I said, I missed some of it. Arj Barker was there as well.
Do you have any good jokes that came from it?
Do I?
New Zealand jokes.
There was the 7 days New Zealand versus the world segment, which I quite liked.
Yeah.
Quite funny. They do this, I think, every time.
New Zealand versus the world.
You get one panel from New Zealand comedians and then another panel of comedians from around the world.
And who won?
The world, I think.
Oh,
all right.
New Zealand time, always wins.
Last time New Zealand won with a resounding all the points.
And all the, of course, that was when all the judges were bribed and were from
just
New Zealand.
The one. Reese Darby was on that. 7 days was pretty. He was good. I love the ENR. The ENR bit was my favorite.
Okay.
Marshall, ask me a yes or no question.
What?
Ask me a yes or no question.
I don't know what that means.
Yes or no question.
did you transition. Just see the game the other day?
Yeah, nah.
Can't answer both.
You can't.
What is going on?
I don't even know. Just say it. I think, was it Reece Darby said, you start with responding to the question answer, so that's the yeah, and then you get to the answering it, which is the nah, which in this case, I got it wrong, so then you have to follow it up with another yeah, so it's yeah, nah, yeah.
Oh, alright.
Cool story.
You can cut that out, because that wasn't good.
Nope, that's going to be at the front of the episode.
Cut out New Zealand Corner.
I mean, if you want to get political, there's the power system.
John
Key? Let's ignore him for a few seconds. Labour and the Greens are teaming up to do, so they're going to buy electricity and then sell it to the residents and everything to make it cheaper and all that, as far as I understand it. Which is fantastic timing because, you know, the power company's shares are going up for sale. Which is, you know. Oh, Labour.
Yes, Labour.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I kind of like, you know, cheaper power. Whoa, thanks, Labour. But also, you're just doing this despite National, aren't you? So it's kind of, you know, whatevs.
All right. Any other newsy news?
Crusaders Rebels game.
Yeah.
Crusaders won, but it was closer than I'd like.
Are they your favorite
Crusaders?
Players?
Our home team, so I kind of have to.
Oh, like them. You're obligated. Forced into it.
Dan Carter's back, I think, so that should help, I guess. We'll see. I'm not sure. I'm not liking their chances. Yeah, it's just a little loud news this week.
Alright. Hopefully something big happens next week.
Yeah.
I don't want to hear it. Alright, well, is that it for New Zealand this week?
Because
if so, we can end this.
Yep.
I don't know why I have a beat going on.
Me either. Let's go.
Let's go in this podcast now. Bye, guys.
Bye-bye.
Sayonara.
Bye-bye. Have fun.
That's for done, yeah.
What? Sorry.
And other stuff.
You speak English here. Game mode on.